A lot of stuff going on. And I hope that you'll plug into all of that. Well, we're going to Song of Solomon. And this series here called Love Story and a six-week study of the Song of Solomon. And this series is designed for you in your relationships. And your life is going to improve when relationships work, all right? So, and you already heard the XO conference. That's great. That's this weekend. It's not too late to register. Please register. It's going to be an amazing time. Studies have shown that 40% of people have been affected by divorce. 25% of people are in a failed relationship. Relationships are in trouble these days. And we have been programmed by our media into a philosophy of relationships that don't work. That's the model that we have. We have a model in our culture that of relationships that simply do not work. And we need, and that's the premise here, is we need God's word to come into our life, to reprogram us, and it's not too late. Here's a thought. Choices lead, feelings follow. That's how it should be. Choices lead, feelings follow. And so the challenge here is to take this series and run with it for the next 6 weeks, learn and apply. Now, we're going through the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. It's written by a man named Solomon, very wise. He wrote most of the Proverbs. And this is actually called Song of Songs. Okay, he wrote a lot of poetry, a lot of songs. This is the song. All right, that's what Song of Songs is. This is the song. He wrote it about 900 BC, 3,000 years old, and yet this is as spicy as it's going to get. And so I want you to get ready. So I've got some ground rules for everybody here this morning. Here's our ground rules. Number one, do I have them for the screen here? Ground rules. They're still messing with that back there. Ground rule number one is listen for yourself. No elbows. No amen, brother. Listen for yourself, okay? That's ground rule number one. Ground rule number two is you're going to hear a lot of God's standard. It's high. God's standard is high. And oftentimes we compare it to ourselves and we think, oh, I'm falling short. I'm not even close to that. Listen, Jesus makes all things new and you get a do-over in life, all right? Jesus is all about making things new. Remember, God never mends what man has marred. He makes it again new, like our series new. Okay, here's number three. This is a PG-13 series, so if you've got 12-year-olds or younger, they should be in our BLC kids, but completely appropriate for those 13 years of age or older, because believe me, they're hearing this in school, all right, or even more than that. And then ground rule number four for this series is it's written as a poem. And it's a lot of symbolism. You call it allegory. It has symbolism. And I gave a couple examples. You'll like when you read the Song of Solomon, he's describing this woman, and he'll say, your belly is like a heap of wheat. Don't say that to your wife. That's not a line that you want to use for your wife or your girlfriend. I'm going to dig in to this culture and explain it to you, because you're going to read things like, you know, like she's not a mare, okay? She's not a horse, but there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of allegory to this, and I'm going to kind of dig through it. In fact, I went through just some light examples here from chapter 4 to 7 to illustrate this. Let's take a look at this here. So the first section that I'm just going to illustrate how this works, if you guys can flip the screen here, is how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats. All right? That's another one you don't want to, you know, say to her. Descending from the hills of Gilead, your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Okay? Not one you want to use. Okay, let's go to the next screen. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Okay, not good. Your neck is like the Tower of David. That's probably not something you want to say to her, okay? Built with courses of stone, or hangs 1,000 shields of them, shields of warriors. Okay, one more section I think I have here, and that is maybe two more. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. And then another set of where you see allegory and symbolism is the, what, like this? Down? Up or down? Is this good? Okay. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Your waist, whoa, your waist, there it is, a mound of wheat circled by lilies. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. That's not good. Looking toward Damascus. All right, I think that was it. So if we took this literally and didn't take allegory, this is what this lady would look like right there. All right? You can see there's her neck teeth, the tower, and there's the two fawns, and her teeth are shorn. So, yeah, that's what she would look like. But that's why this is all about allegory. And in the song, there's three people. There's he speaks, he's the lover. She speaks, she's the beloved. And then there's these daughters of Jerusalem. They're like this chorus of other people that are going, you guys are doing it right. You're doing it right. Yay, God. It's awesome, okay? So that's what we're going to look at. So here's kind of like the theme verse. Here's an overview, first of all, before I get to the theme verse. Here's an overview of the Song of Solomon that we're going to unfold over the next few weeks. In chapter 1, they're courting. From chapter 1 to 2, they're courting and they're not married, all right? And then the next one, next week, chapter 2, 8 through 3, 5, is the kids get here on that. We want older kids, the world. This is dating, okay? So if you got teenagers, 13, get them here, okay? Because the world is lying to everybody about dating. And this would be great for kids 13 or older to really hear on that. That's why I say kids get here on this. Intimacy. This is week number 3. It's honeymoon night. All night long. Okay, Lionel Richie doesn't have anything. They called it all night long before Lionel Richie did. But it's honeymoon night, all right? That's in week number 3. And then week number 4, it's conflict. From chapter 5 to chapter 6, they have their first fight. They fight for 2 chapters. But it's all about fighting fair. And we're going to talk about that there really is parameters that we can follow in this about when we have conflict, how can we fight and how can we fight fair? All right, and then we have from chapter 7 to chapter 8, figuring out mature love. And then finally from chapter 8, verse 5 through 8:14 is all about covenant. And most people don't know about what covenant is all about. So that's kind of an overview. That's where we're going to go. And these 6 messages apply to all relationships, married or not. So here we go. Here's our theme verse, Song of Songs, verses 1 through 4. It reads, Solomon's Song of Songs, let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. See, no one loves the way God does, and this is what we get. And God has given us the example and the picture of love and also about sex. And we get, in fact, there's a lot said on the Word of God about sex. And this is the place to be talking about. See, some people are a little uncomfortable in church about it, but where else would we talk about it? Like in the locker room? You know, the Bible is full or replete with this. And yet, so many times we think that we think the world has a standard, and the world doesn't. We need to get back to God's standard. So we're talking about it, and so this is God's love. He says, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. And that perfume, it comes from an olive oil. And when they press the olives, and they get the best that comes out of that. The best fragrance comes out of that when they press these. They're extra virgin olives. Thought about naming the message extra virgin, but thought, okay. but they get it's no leftover. It's pure, and it's the best. That's how the relationship is here. It's a picture of God's relationship. It's a picture of Solomon and his lover's relationship. And it should be what we have. No leftover. We give each other the best. So now we jump into this. This message is called The Art of Attraction. And we'll look first at chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, and I got them on the screen here for you. It says, take me with you, come, let's run. Now remember, there's three people involved. There's the lover, and how did I say that? There is the lover, the beloved, and then you got this chorus of the daughters of Jerusalem. So, take me with you, come, let's run. The king, that's Solomon, has brought me into his bedroom. How happy we are for you, O king. We praise your love even more than wine. How right they are to adore you. I am dark but beautiful. So this is the beloved talking. O women of Jerusalem, dark as the tents of Kedar, dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. Don't stare at me because I am dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for their vineyard, so I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard. See, the important thing here is that the attraction needs to be based on the right thing. It needs to be based on the right thing. The order is important. We got to get the order right. And what is it that married? We need to work hard at being attractive because it kind of goes downhill after we get married. Now, this beloved, she says, I'm dark. Girl's got a tan, right? Dark was not physically attractive there then like we do. We think, okay, you know, we're going to go on the cruise and we're going to go to the tanning booth. But dark, here she was dark. It was not physically attractive. It meant that she had rough hands and rough skin because she worked out in the sun, literally taking care of vineyards. And so, but what she's saying here, and this is what I want you to get, even though I'm not physically attractive, I'm still lovely to him. See? I'm still lovely. Nothing else. Don't focus on my body is what she's saying. My thought is don't let the physical be your attraction. It often is. Because like I said, we often, that's how we're often drawn to each other, as we see each other, and there's a physical attraction. And we make that the point, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because, like I said, after the wedding night, it all goes downhill. You know, we all start changing over the years. And so, what is it then that makes her attractive? And she uses the word vineyard. I couldn't even care for my vineyard. Vineyard is talking about her body. She couldn't even care for herself, all right, is what she was saying. A vineyard is allegory for that. So then it says in verse 7 of chapter 1, tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday, why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flock of your friends? Now, a veiled woman is allegory, is words for like a prostitute. And she's saying, why should I let you touch me any way that you want? He's attracted to me, but she's not going to compromise her values. She's not going to give in. She's not going to be like a prostitute is what she's saying. I'm not going to let you touch me any way you want. So here's why, though, he is the attraction is, first of all, for your notes, it's a spiritual attraction. She is spiritually attractive to him and vice versa. It says he looked at, she says he looked at me and he says, even though she's dark, she's lovely to him. And he looks at her and he says, that's a person I can live with. That's a person that I can be with, that I can spend the rest of my life, a woman who knows God. See, if you want relationships back, if you want the home to be right, if you want the feelings to be right, if you want your life right, the first attraction then has to be our love for God. It has to be our love for God. So, you know, guys, if you want her to be attractive to you, then you need to show that you love God. You need to make God as your priority. You need to be a worshiper of God. You need to be a Christ follower, because that's what's attractive. That's the first thing. We're spiritually attractive. So if you're guys, I'm talking to you now, I mean, when we're in praise and worship, it's not hands in our pockets, all right? We need to get them out here. We need to worship. I mean, we need to carry the baby, right? We need to get them up here, right? We need to carry the baby, and then as we grow in our worship, maybe I caught it this much, and it was this big, you know? And then it's touchdown, okay, later on. We need to get our worship in order, because that's a spiritual attraction, and that's the first priority that we should have with each other. We should be spiritually attractive to her. She needs to be spiritually attractive to us. And that's the order. I remember when I was just finishing Bible college, I had an assignment for some of my preaching classes. I had to get out and preach. And I had to have people, the pastor of the church that would let me preach, he would sit back and evaluate me. And I remember being in my home church, getting up and had a chance to preach. And so I was preaching that Sunday. And I didn't have a wedding band on that day because Michelle, all right, I got married so young that, I mean, I was really, really skinny when we got married, all right? I wore a size 7 ring. And so, but years later, years later, I'm much heavier than I was when we got married. And now I wear about a 10, 10 and a half. And so that little wedding band, it's in a drawer someplace. So I don't have any wedding band on that day. I did this because we renewed our vows a number of years ago, but this is before that. So no wedding band, I'm preaching. And there was a lady that came and sang. She did a couple special songs for the congregation. And she was eyeing me up for a friend of hers because she saw me preaching and she didn't see a ring on this finger. And so she was eyeing, she thought, this guy's spiritual, he's got it together, I got a friend. And so afterwards, but somewhere in the message I mentioned Michelle, so that took care of it and got me off the hook with her. The point is, to be attractive is to be spiritually attractive, is to make sure that we are growing spiritually and that we are Christ followers, because that's the first attraction that we should have. Don't compromise. Don't be like a veiled woman. And for women, don't let him touch you. Make him, if he's so interested in getting his hands, you just say, look, if you like this, put a ring on it, right? If you like this, put a ring on it. So that's the idea, is to have a spiritual attraction. And here's what happens when we love and honor God. Several things. One, when you love and honor God, you worship him, and then you know your direction and your purpose. When you love and honor God, you worship him, and then you know your direction and your purpose. And that's the second thing about being together and having spiritual attraction first, and that is when you're connected, you get connected then to your God-given purpose. And when you're connected to your God-given purpose, that's a great way for a relationship to build along the purposes that God has made you. It took Michelle and I many, many years to figure out how we were wired, and how instead of battling each other, we found how we complemented one another. We found out that where I'm strong, she's weak, and where I'm weak, she's strong. And God has just brought that together beautifully and makes it work when you know your purpose. And so, and then of course, when we love and honor God, we want to make sure that we have godly standards. When we're following the Lord, we raise our standards to have godly standards, and we make sure that we follow God's ways. All right, so not Hollywood's, but God's standards. So then he moves now into, so that's the art of attraction. First of all, is a spiritual attraction. Secondly, we move into this text. It says in chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, he says, "I liken you, my darling, to a mare," remember, don't use that, "harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh," figurative, allegory. "Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with the strings of jewels. We will make your earrings of gold, studded with silver. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breast. My lover is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi." And so he starts out, "I liken you, my darling." And those words from the Hebrew just simply mean she's his friend. They're friends. They're lovers, but they're friends. They have a spiritual connection, but they are friends, companions. They hang out with each other, and therefore they refer to one another affectionately and have names of endearment. Which, of course, reminds me of a story about these two guys. one guy came over to another guy's house, and he was impressed by their marriage, and he was impressed by how they got along, and while his friend was over there, he says, "Hey, baby doll, can you bring us something to drink?" And then later on, he says, "Honey, darling, can you give us something to eat?" And the guy says, "Wow, you have all these names for her. That's amazing." He says, "Well, it's because I can't remember her name." But, you know, yeah, not true. You want to make sure that you are friends. And so your relationship is not only a spiritual relationship, but that there's an emotional attraction and that you like being around one another and that you have you are friends. And he also says, you know, he says, like, he is a sachet of myrrh in between her breasts. Now, I don't know what a sachet of myrrh is, but I'm sure he is glad that he has won, you know. But there's an emotional attraction there. And we need to learn this art of friendship. And that's the first thing, that we are friends in our relationship. Michelle and I are friends, and we talk, and I have, you know, I always call, her name is Michelle, but you'll often hear me call her Shelzy, all right? That's just a term of endearment that I have for my wife. And it just reminds us that when I call her Shelzy, that we are friends, and that we are close, and that we are together, and we like hanging out together, and we like being together. And also, when you have that relationship, that emotional attraction, it means that we want to make sure that we're not harsh with our words, that we relate together as friends, and that we're not harsh. And you can, you know, when you have a relationship, you can tell, even when you're dating, you can see how she responds to her father, or she can see how you respond to your mother, and likelihood is that's how you guys are going to relate somehow. And so that kind of gives you a clue. But, you know, back to this terms of endearment of, I really think that adultery doesn't begin with a physical attraction, but it begins with an emotional attraction. When we start using terms of endearment to other members of the opposite sex, when we start using terms of endearment to someone else, I believe that then that opens the door and leads to adultery, when you affirm somebody else. So you want to make sure that with our mates that there's that emotional, that we are not only have a spiritual attraction, but we are emotionally attracted to each other, that we're friends, that we have terms of endearment, we don't use harsh words. I'll tell you one thing that really helps a relationship out is when you pray over one another, when you pray with one another, when you hold hands and pray. I mean, Michelle and I have been married 43 years. We've been together for almost a little over 45 years. We still hold hands. People look at that. They say, the people watch us come. Well, can we? I mean, we think nothing of it. It's just part of our nature. We hold hands. We hold hands, and people go, "Aw, look at that. Look at the old couple holding hands." Yeah, they don't know that she doesn't see on her right side, so I need to stand on her side sometimes to help her get where she's got to be. But no, we just enjoy that. And when we pray together, we hold hands. And sometimes we lay hands on each other. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just kind of come behind her, and I'll pray over her. I'll pray over her. And I'll tell you, that connection right there is great. See, that emotional, there's a spiritual attraction, there's an emotional attraction. Now, if we're praying for members of the opposite sex, if someone comes to me and they want to pray, I'm not going to, we'll extend a hand, okay? We'll extend a hand. If you want prayer, we'll extend a hand. We'll make sure that we don't put ourselves in compromising positions because we want to hold up God's standard high. So, attraction. We want to have spiritual attraction. We want to make sure that we are attractive spiritually, that we've got something to give to our loved one. But then also the emotional attraction, to make sure that we're together and that we have terms of endearment and there's no harsh words and that we have that time of touching together. Because the Bible says we need to take captive every thought. We need to take captive every thought. And we want to make sure that each other are in our thoughts. All right, so then, but the level is probably about 75%. The emotional equation of this is probably 20%. But the last 5% is the physical. And there is a place for the physical attraction. It says in the Song of Solomon here, back still in chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, How beautiful you are, my darling. There's the terms of endearment. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. How handsome you are, my lover. So they're talking back and forth. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant. The beams of our house are cedars. Our rafters are like firs. And it's interesting. He says, your eyes are like doves. Rabbinic teaching taught that you look through the eyes. And when you look at a person's eyes, the eyes reveal the soul. And so they were very big on not looking at a person's body, but when they looked at them, they looked in their eyes, because the eyes revealed their soul. But if we're going to focus on the physical, and the physical is a point of attraction, we want to do it right. Because this can be the little fire and spark that's not treated properly that can actually destroy. And I'm going to have a whole message on the physical in just a few weeks on February 19th, okay? I'm going to have a whole message on that. Guys, you might want to write that down. I'm going to take care of a brother that weekend, okay? But we're going to focus. We'll have a whole message on that. But he focused on her, not only the physical for who she was, but then also to her inner self as well. Now, let me just say a few words about that. Michelle and I are married 43 years, and I still think she's pretty hot. We still have a strong attraction, and we've had some rocky years, and we've had some testing years, but it's better today than ever before. And because of that, because it's better than ever before, we're actually... there's the physical, but then we're actually able to love beyond the physical and be more expansive and deeper than what it was. But I was attracted to her right from the get-go. I got to tell you this story. It was 1971. I was a sophomore in high school. That tells you how old I am. I was a sophomore in high school, and she moved to my hometown. And they had kind of lived a gypsy life, and they moved all over the place. Well, what... she didn't know what a crush on, and she just wasn't interested. Sophomore year, I had this thing. I had this one girl I had a crush on, and she just wasn't interested in me, all right? Just, it wasn't happening. We'd have what we call sock hops. Those were dances at school at noon, and they were chaperoned. And I remember the guys, were like freshmen, okay? And so at that time in my class, the guys... how you ranked with the girls, you had three categories. You could be a stud, where you just had great success with the women, okay? Great success, no problem. And then there was peasant, meaning, could we use these old English terms? You had peasant, meaning you were somewhat good. Serf meant you were lower, not real good. And then if you were the bottom tier, just no, nothing, just goat milker, okay? It would mean you had no success at all with the girls. So I remember this girl, her name was Julie. Maybe she's listening to this podcast today. She's still a good friend of mine. And I had a crush on her. And I was always wait till they played the Beatles song, Hey Jude, because it was a little over 7 minutes long. So I got that chance for slow dancing. And it was boys' choice, meaning you could, how that worked was the boys, all the guys are in one corner, all the girls are over here, and so when a boy's choice, the boy would walk over, see the girl, and say, you want to dance? And, of course, the response is usually yes, and they dance. So I went over to Julie, and I looked at her, and I said, want to dance? And she went like this. I got the no. And I went back over, and all the guys in the corner are going like this with this goat milking. Okay, calling me a goat milker. So I had this thing. All my other friends got girlfriends, and I'm working down a list. I've got a list of who's next on my list, and I had this person and this person and this person. Well, Michelle just happened to move during that time to my hometown, and when I saw her, blonde hair, freckles, loved her. Okay, the physical attraction, it was there. But I was in love, and she moved to the top of my list. Okay, it was amazing. But I don't think I was at the top of her list because it took me from September 1971 till February, next weekend, February, Valentine's weekend, 1972, I think my persistence broke her down because she said yes to me as far as dating, and we've been together ever since, all right? So that's how we met, and that was all about the attraction thing. But I've gotten to know that she has an inner beauty, and I really do love to look in her eyes, because Michelle just has these soft, sensitive eyes. You really do see through the soul. And I watched how she related. Now, she didn't have a dad. Her mom had been divorced, and her mom had moved around from all over the place, so she didn't really have a father figure until she met me. And then she met my dad as we started dating. And I watched how she related. Her and my dad were like buddies. We've got a picture up here. There's Michelle and my dad when we were in high school, okay? That's not me. That's not Michelle Young with me. That's my dad, and that's Michelle. And I just watched how those two related and how she treated him, and I just knew, wow, that's how it's going to be with me. And she has been. She's been great. Unfortunately for her, my dad and my mom had a great marriage, and my dad was a romantic. My dad would take my mom, after 30-some years of marriage, he would take her out to Lake Michigan and write her name in the sand, and the water would come up. And he had the old, what we call Super 8 movie. They could make movies with a Super 8 movie camera. And he would, my mom's name is, it's a different name. Her name is Verda, and her middle name is June. And he would make these movies and call it Verda June Productions. And he was just in love with and so Michelle saw my dad acting like that and thought, the son's going to be like dad, right? Wrong. And I got a romantic bone in my body. But but, you know, we're attracted to the physical, but beyond, and you know what, there's something else on the physical too, is we love each other as we are. We get it. Things change, all right? And guys get sometimes enamored and misled because we see these beauties on magazines that are airbrushed and whatever, and they're not as beautiful as they will say look, okay? And so we just got to understand that. And women should never feel guilty when they see these beautiful women in these magazines. I was told, I read this someplace, that the average woman is a size 12. And so my point is, why would you want to be under average, right? Why would you want to be under average? So it goes both ways. So this is a little bit about then the physical attraction. And so we have physical attraction. We shouldn't make it the priority. We want the spiritual attraction to be in place and emotional attraction. There is a place for the physical, but we also understand that we change over time. We change over time. You know, I'm the guy that, you know, Michelle always said, when you have no more hair, that's when we're done, okay? So, now, you know, just jokingly, because, you know, like I tell people, you know, I once had all waves and now I got all beach, you know? I once had a crew cut, but the crew bailed out. So, anyway, we change. We change in time. So we look past then the physical. We accept the physical, but then we look through it, and then we realize that there's an inner beauty that we can have with each other. And this is her thought about herself of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. She says, I am the spring crocus blooming on the Sharon plain, the lily of the valley, like a lily among thistles, is my darling among young women. I mean, she's saying, this is who I am, like the lily of the valley. Love me. I'm the dark one. I'm the one with rough skin that isn't really attractive, but this is how his love makes me feel. That's what she's saying. This is how his love for me makes me feel. She feels this way because of love. And then, of course, in chapter 2, it says, strengthen me with raisin cakes. Okay, now raisin cakes were like an aphrodisiac to bring on sexual desires. Refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. So they're getting ready to lay down. She gives in. She can't take it anymore, and she's saying, I think we need to do it. But then he says, whoops, time out. That's not God's order. Let's wait. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 2, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. And this phrase simply means, let's let love develop God's way. Let's follow God's priority. A spiritual attraction, emotional attraction, and a physical attraction. And my prayer this morning will be that we will have an attractiveness according to God's principles, according to God's word, that we will show ourselves to be spiritually attractive, and then the emotional, and then a place for the physical, knowing that even at that, there's the inner beauty that we can bring out in each other. Father, if they'll bring the team up too, if the team comes up. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for Song of Solomon, this opening chapter or two, the things that we learned, God. Father, I just pray for the relationships, for the people here, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to first and foremost, God, we want to honor you. We want to raise the standard. We don't want to get caught into Hollywood, in the world, which is all physical, all about just physicality and sex, and that's it. But we want to be people who are attractive. Attractive spiritually. That we are worshipers of God, lovers of Jesus. And that is seen loud and clear by other people, as well as our mates. That there is a spiritual attractiveness to us. And then, Lord, we also want to have an emotional attraction, God. We don't want to give away terms of endearment. Those should be reserved for our loved ones. Help us to be cautious in other relationships. And help us, Lord, to do all that we can to spark that emotional attractiveness with one another. And then, Father, I pray for the physical attraction, God. Because it's real, it's there. But Lord, help us to receive and accept one another. As time changes, as we change, that our physical love would not change. Because over that time, we know that there's a deeper beauty, an inner beauty. God, we know that these are your standards. We know this is your priority, God. Father, help us to be attractive then according to your principles. Forgive us where we have failed. But we know that you can make all things new. We love you and we praise you. Holy Spirit, teach us the things that we need to know to apply to our lives and our relationships so that we can live lives that glorify our Heavenly Father. And praise the name of Jesus, for I pray in his name. Amen. So this morning, just want to remind you, the connection card and your worship guides, fill them out, contact information, prayer requests. We're going to have the offering buckets come by in just a minute. Just put those in. If you would like some prayer today, let me know. I'd be happy to pray with you. You've already heard about our marriage conference. If you're interested in our marriage conference this Friday and Saturday, we need you to register with Marriage Today. We've provided you all the information. There's information at guest services as well, and we can help you with that. I can help you with Pastor Nick can help you. But we need you to register if you're interested in that, because it's going to be a phenomenal conference. And by the way, if you attend Better Life Church, if this is your church, if you go to the conference and you're there both days, we'll get your money back for you. We'll bless you with that. But right now, let's just take pause, because as a church, we like to give God our first and our best with our not only our time and our talents, but our tithe. So we're going to receive this offering this morning. Father, thank you, God, that you allow us to bring an offering to you. We really can't give you anything, Father, because everything belongs to you. But we can bring that which you've given to and blessed us with. Receive our first and our best, God, and do much with it for the kingdom of God and for the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.